I've had a lot of thought, a lot of time, and many times when I wanted to speak a little bit about on this particular section of Scripture. Paul writes to several churches, and one of them, Philippians, is one of my all-time favorites as far as his letters are concerned, simply because of the messages that he brings, the messages that he gives out. Philippians, the city itself, a little bit of history about them. Philippians is actually the fourth name of that particular city. The fourth name of it, because it was originally named in the Latin, which I can't speak, which means the city of the conquered. Philippi had actually been conquered four times. They came in, they'd take it over, they'd settle it. The first time the people ran away, the second time the people stayed. The third time they ran away and some stayed. But the whole purpose of Philippi's being is where it was on a trade route, and it was also a city of gold. And that's why they keep coming in there and taking it over. There were gold mines all around the city. And every time they were conquered, the people that were in charge of the city tried to hide the location of all those gold mines. Paul gives out a lot of information, a lot of encouragement, because these people were used to being conquered. And as we go through, I'm going to talk a little bit about that also, about some of those conquering peoples. And the Romans went in there actually twice, and they conquered themselves. It was kind of weird, that's what it does. But he starts out, and I'm going to break this down in groups, and we're literally going to stay right here, that whole section, thank you, that was read very well. We're just going to stay right there. We're not going to go anywhere else, so that's where we're going to be. That whole time. And Paul starts out, he says, if there's any encouragement for him being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. He's not saying, if there's anything left at all that I might be able to recognize, then finish it off. He's saying, no, look, you have all of these things. You're together. You've gone through adversity. Make it complete. Take all of those things. Take all of the encouragement from being united in Christ. Take all the comfort from being one of His. And now complete it all. And be like-minded. He says, of one mind. Not everyone with their own thoughts and direction. Not everyone trying to be in charge. Be like-minded. Of all of these things, encouragement and unity and comfort should lead you to all be the same. So it's not so much of, if there's anything left, you guys are really hanging in there, then try to, no, take all of that and make it more. Make it more. Be like-minded. Help each other out. He says, being like-minded, having one mind in the same spirit and the same purpose. He continues, now how are you going to do that? He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not be looking towards your own interest, but towards the interest of others. This is the main portion of the letter that always brings me back to it. And this portion of this letter brings me back to it because when I was in junior high school, back in the dark ages, I rode with my brother and I rode with a group called a bicycle group called the Spokesman. Okay. Yeah, it was kind of a play on words, but it was also the purpose of the group. We were a Christian group. Not only were we bicycles and spokesmen, and our little symbol was a wheel and all those kinds of things, but we were spokesmen. Everywhere that we went, we talked. We didn't hide in it. It wasn't just a big vacation. Okay. And when I got involved with the spokesmen, had actually been in being about a year before my brother and I joined them. And at the time we joined, there was about 65 of us, and we were spread between San Diego and there was a fort in San Francisco, and we met together, and we'd go on trips. team. And now imagine, as I tell you about this, 65 people. The first trip that we took, we left Vancouver, British Columbia, and we arrived at the end of our trip at the border of Tijuana. 65 people spread out down Highway 1. Now, on a bicycle, you don't go very far in a day. 65 miles was a long day. So we were getting a lot of spots all the way down the coast and did a lot of speaking. But I the reason why I say that the verses 3 and 4 are the main purpose of that brings me back and kind of focuses on this particular letter, because that was the verse that we wore on our back. When we first joined, we were looking at different things, and they said, let's look at this. And we said, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but consider others better than yourselves. That was a watchword for us in that group. We had to look out for everybody else. We were on some pretty dangerous roads. We were on some pretty hazardous climbs. We learned different things. One of our trainers was a gold medal winner, Colombian national bicycle racing champion. He was one of our trainers. He taught us a lot of things. And part of the things that we did as a group, we had to encourage each other. 65 miles is a long way. It's not bad if it's downhill or flat. Coming south, down Highway 1, is not flat. Believe me, it's uphill both ways. And some of those hills are long. Hit Viper Big Sur. Viper Big Sur was 35 miles uphill. So we had to encourage. That was our encouragement. And it was funny to us because we pulled into this town, we had on the back of all our shirts, we had this big sign. It said, Spokesman, Phil 2, 3, and 4. And people go, is that your phone number? And we go, nope, not my phone number, but let me tell you about it. It kind of opened a lot of doors for us. But all of that being said is, what did we do? We had to look out after each other's interests. We had to learn how to be humble. We had to learn how to say, are you okay? Do you need water? Here, take my water bottle. You need water? You're out of water? Okay, we'll take care of that. And we run up, and one of the guys would get on it and just dash on up ahead of the group, fill up a few bottles, and then come back down and start distributing water bottles. We learned how to come up alongside of somebody and grab onto their seat and give them a push. So now you got two people riding up that hill instead of one. And believe me, it helps. It helps a lot. I was dying on Viper Big Sur before my brother came up and grabbed my seat and said, let's go. You can do this. Do nothing out of vain conceit. Help each other. Look out after each other's interests. It goes in that little thing. You look at it and say, I can do that for my whole life. I got problems. You got problems. But we can work together. We can solve those problems. There's no problem. Okay? He says, but also look after the interests of others. And your attitude should be the same of that as Christ. This is how you're supposed to do this. You're ready for this one. Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. I like the way that says that. Made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. I'm gonna stop right there because there's a lot of descriptors there. I don't want to go too far yet. A lot of descriptors there. He says being in the very nature of God, he didn't consider himself equal with God, but made himself nothing in the form of a servant. This is an attitude that Paul is telling the people. He says, this is how I want you to consider yourself lower than others, to humble yourself and look after the interests of others. This is the attitude I want you to see. He says, I want you to do it just the way Christ did. He says, Jesus, Christ is God. But did Christ, excuse the analogy, Did Christ lord it over us? No, he didn't. He made himself equal. He slept on the ground outside. He had no home. This is the first, it was the first very, very famous homeless person. He made himself equal. He made himself a servant. He made himself nothing in the likeness of human beings. Jesus is God. He said, that's how I want you to be. I said, I want you to empty it out. I want you to become so self-unimportant to recognize and help others, to recognize and reach out and find the things that need to be done. He says, he humbled himself and was obedient to the point of death. God wants obedience. God deserves obedience. This is how we be children. Your children, as parents, we demand obedience from our children. I give you something to do, you do it, and that's it. Why do we do this? This is not to be mean. This is not to be mean at all. This is to teach you. This is to keep you safe. This is to give you, as the Bible says, live long upon this earth. Kind of a double-edged sword in that verse, but I'll use it anyway. But it's obedience. Obedience to death, and even death on the cross. Now, I'm going to stop there because he says in his attitude is sacrifice, is crucifixion. And I want to stop there simply because crucifixion. Jesus chose, as God, chose the worst possible form of sacrifice. He chose death. Okay. But not only just death, he chose a form of death that was reserved only for the worst of the worst of the worst. God stepped down and humbled himself so much that he chose the form of sacrifice, death of crucifixion. The death of crucifixion was reserved by the Roman government to be decreed only by high Roman officials. It could not be a low court. By high Roman officials only could declare crucifixion. And it had to be a crime so horrible. So, you know, think about it, and I'll give it all in your own mind. You think about the crime that is so horrible, you couldn't even look at that person. Say, oh my goodness, you're kidding me. That's what crucifixion was reserved for. As a matter of fact, the Roman emperors have been handed down in decree and by one of those, let's see, how do I see this? You've heard about the secret book of the presidents? Yeah, there's that. That little myth. Okay, Roman emperors actually had this secret scroll that they passed down that only they knew the contents of. Okay, one of those things was that Roman citizens were not to observe crucifixion. That was in the scroll. Roman citizens, because it was so horrible, they were too sensitive. They were just staying out of the area of it. That's how horrible it was. And God chose that. He said, I'm going to humble myself so much. That is the sacrifice that I'm going to observe. That is the sacrifice that I'm going to put on myself to save you. In a phrase that one of my favorite preachers used to give me, he's going to save you from your sweet stinking self. He chose crucifixion. That's obedience. Did he want to do it? In the end, one of the prayers that he had in the garden, what did he say? Please, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He wanted to do it. But he obeyed. However, your will be done. Guess what happened? Well, we know what happened. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name, the name Jesus, that every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus as Lord for the glory of the Father God. Lovely. Perfect obedience, perfect sacrifice. And from that, just at his name, that's important. That's an important thing. Just at his name, calling upon his name, you're saved. But how? Because remember, Paul says, I want you to do all of these things just like Christ did. And Jesus himself said, just calling upon me, Lord, look what I did, isn't going to save you. It's obedience. 100% pure obedience. You're given what you're supposed to do, and you've got to do it. Because just as you have obeyed not only in my presence but also in my absence, he says, you know, you don't want to be obedient for show. Not obedient for show. Paul says, and this applies in every walk of life. That's why I just love the way his letters go. In every walk of life, he says, I want you to do these things because you know they're right to do, not because somebody else is going to see you do it. There's so many people that you can probably call up in the back of your mind. He says, yeah, he was busy when the boss was around. But when the boss wasn't around, you probably could have hung your hat on him and you wouldn't have noticed. He says, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, continue the work with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you and act according to his good purpose. If I'm stagnant, I'm not acting in his good purpose. This is what he's directed. It's part of the obedience. You have your mission in life. You have to do that. It's part of the obedience. He says, do everything without grumbling or complaining. That's a hard thing to do. But apparently there were some issues there. We have things we have to do. We have functions and missions. If people don't do what they have to do, what's supposed to be done, then the whole thing falls apart. And we're going to roll all the way back to the beginning where he says, get together and do it in one mind with joy, being like-minded. You have a purpose to do your thing. And I'm sure we can call out names. I mean, Dennis teaches, he leads singing. He makes sure that people are aware. He goes around and greets everybody. Jim does the same thing. He's going around, no, he doesn't lead singing. He takes care, I tell you what, he takes care of the bills. The lights are still on. Why? Because Jim paid the bill. Everybody has a mission. Everybody has a mission. Don stands at the door. He doesn't have to. He wasn't assigned to do that. But every time the doors are open, Don's there at the door. Hey, how you doing? Everybody has a mission. We all greet each other. We talk. We have a good time. I'm so glad that for this body, it makes me so happy. I said it last week. I'll say it again. When I'm down, you bring me up. When I'm up, you keep me there. Everybody is so, but we all have our mission, and that's little as big as whatever you might think it might be. It's huge and it's important. But we have to do that. And we say, okay, well, we're going to have a work party. And you go, I don't want to really know that. No, just come on and do it. I know, you don't see me here a whole lot. This work party's not working. Just going, oh, sure. But he says, do all things without grumbling. What, you know, the other thing is that do everything without grumbling and complaining. Why? Because if we grumble and we complain about every little thing, who are we doing it to? Not ourselves. We're just bringing everybody else down. We're bringing everybody else down. And we bring everybody else down, what are we doing? We're disappointing the unity. That just hurts his feelings. His, not his. So you may become blameless children of God without fault in this crooked and depraved generation. Oh boy, do we. Shine like stars. Because in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. I want to be able to say that too. I did not run or labor for nothing. Now, obviously, I'm not out on the trail and sleeping under a rock and all of those kinds of things, getting the word out to folks. But I sure don't want to put on say, I goofed off and messed up. I didn't run and labor for nothing. Everybody that I spread, that I spoke the word to, kept the word. Everybody I spoke the word to took the part, took the key. Now, is it my responsibility? No. It is my responsibility to make sure that you heard about it. I do that. Not as often as I should, but I do that. But is it my responsibility for you to believe it? Nope. Not at all. But I'm certainly going to try to get you to understand it. So even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad to rejoice. So you should be glad and rejoice with me also. He's speaking here in the last days. He's speaking here of death. He's talking about the sacrifice. In the sacrifices, what happened is that we know that for the grain offerings and the meat offerings and the harvest and there was a wine that was poured on to the altar with it. It was that drink offering. And that's what Paul is speaking about. He says, I am going to be poured out as an offering on the altar. All of my works, all of the things that I've said, all of the things that I've done, I'm responsible for, and that's going to be presented to God. He says, man, I hope it's accepted. All of those things that we have done become that drink offering, that part of that sacrifice. And throughout all of those things that Paul is saying, be of one mind, be unified, be singleness. Why? Because if you have separation in mind and you have different things going on, it just becomes confusion. Nobody believes anything. Is it important to hear the word? It is. Because if you don't hear it, how can you know anything about it? How can I be held responsible for not believing and not obeying and not doing what I'm supposed to do if I don't know about it? I run up against this at work all the time. How did I know I was supposed to order that if nobody told me? I didn't know that. I wasn't sitting there in that arrangement. So if I don't tell you about it, how do you know about it? Okay. If you don't believe it, that's your fault, but it is my responsibility to help you to understand it. Another offering, another cause, another mix in that one. Repentance is where the line crosses. I can't do anything about that. I can try like crazy to make sure you understand that's a responsibility. I can try like crazy to make you understand here's the gift and here's the sacrifice. That crucifixion, that thing was so horrible that Roman citizens weren't even supposed to observe it because they were too sensitive. It was so horrible that it was reserved for the highest courts for conviction, so horrible that it was reserved for the worst crime whatsoever, and God himself put him on it. So horrible. Is baptism important? Everybody shake your head in the affirmative direction. Why? Because baptism is ecumenical. Baptism is the first actual step in obedience. Because he tells you this is what you have to do. You can't take Mark 16:16 and stop the middle of it. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now I'll tell you right now that some of my good friends whom I grew up with will tell you that because the rest of that says he that does not believe is condemned, but it doesn't say is not baptized is condemned, that means therefore baptism is not important. Excuse me. Can't do that. Cannot do that. Take that full step of obedience. But he says also, rise up, walk in a newness of life. How is that walking in the newness of life? It's sharing. It's being singleness of mind. It's being one. It's being encouraging. It's being happy. I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to have the opportunity to be here every time I'm here. Do I get to see everybody else? And we pick and gather. We have a wonderful time. I'm so glad for it. Because we have singleness of mind. That's the direction. He says, have the humility of Christ. Be ready to take that sacrifice on. Be ready to be sacrificed. Take it on. Be humble. You don't want to be out in front. You want to be in the crowd. Because everybody has to be out in front. With the spearhead, the whole thing, the whole body. As much as we could possibly, all of us, if we could all possibly occupy the same space. And think of it as, I'm in front of you in line, no, I need to be behind you. And it's just this whole thing. Well, back. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. God's rule's not ours. God's rule's not ours. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. God's rule's not ours. Paul says, do it. It's obedience. Obedience to the point of death. Obedience, if you don't obey, there will be death. And there's two of them. I observe one of them on a regular daily basis. There's two of them. God describes it very clearly. It's the second death is total, unadulterated separation from the Father forever, and forever is a long time. Can't imagine it. This life, mine is only 60 years, some of them longer in this room, some of them shorter in this room. Can't imagine that that is just like yesterday and it's done. I can't imagine forever. But the second death is separation forever. Don't want to do it. Share the load. Share the load with joy. Share the load with gladness. Enjoy it and have a wonderful time. Because when you have somebody with you, it's a whole lot easier to sing to sing in harmony. I can only sing one part at a time. And singing helps the other. And do it without grumbling. We'll do it without complaining. Because nobody wants to hear. Oh boy, got to do it again. No, do it without grumbling and complaining. It's so much easier and so much more fun. And that's his whole purpose. That whole section, that whole 18 verses, that whole section is what? It's imitate Christ in his humility, get the work done happily, do it together, and have the same direction. That's the easiest recap there is of the whole thing. Do it all the same and have a wonderful time doing it. Because the end is just a big party. Just a big party. And we kind of talked about it. How do you get there? You get there by understanding and obeying. You get there by repentance. You get there by baptism. You get there by living the life and doing it all in singleness of mind. If you have not heard and believed, if you have not repented, if you have not been baptized, now it's time to do that. Now is the time to do that, because we all want to give, we all want to rejoice together with you. We all want to help you along the path. We all want to be there for you. If you have other cares and concerns that you need to make known to the church, you need to have some comfort, you need to have some assistance someplace, you just need to have prayers said. Prayer works. It honestly does. It helps us change things. It helps us work together. If any of those concerns are yours today, please let us know. We're going to sing a song right now. We're going to head in. Dennis is going to come up and show us the song. We're going to go ahead and stand right now. We're going to sing the song. If you can switch to that part.